Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast. Today we have Tammy Lee from TammyLeeTips.com, which is a great resource. I mean, if you want to get hungry, or if you don't want to get hungry, do not go to her website, because, you know, her photos and her recipes, you know, they will make your mouth water, man. It just kills me following her on Twitter. Anyway, I'm here with Tammy Lee today because I just found out that she's been working at, she worked at a car rental agency, or what did you work for? 13 years? What were you doing?
For 13 years, I started in a rental car office and then worked my way up. And when I finally left the company, I was a loss control manager over a few states. So I handled all of the damaged, ugly wrecked cars, issues, things like that. All the things, bad things that happen with rental cars landed on my desk.
So do you rent cars today?
Prior to this past year, I was renting cars almost weekly.
Wow. So, I mean, you must have the trick. So for starters, where do you go to rent cars?
We rent through Costco often.
Yeah, me too.
So, because Costco travel, I mean, it's amazing the deals you can find, but also how easy it is to check back multiple times to see if the rate changes.
Exactly. That's what I do as well. I mean, and they seem to change a lot too.
Yes.
By the way, when you say we, you're talking about your husband, who also has a travel site. And what is that?
He does. My husband is parkrangerjohn.com. He retired after being a park ranger for 20 years and now talks about national parks and outdoor recreation.
I mean, this is the year to be doing that. I mean, that's what's hot right now.
It is the perfect year to get out in a park and explore.
Totally. And how many parks have you been to, or has he been to?
In the national park system, we've been to, I think, over 220
out of 423.
Yeah. Or over half.
Impressive. And, but let's get back to rental cars before I, you know, deviate. So, you know, we both use Costco. Do you use any other sites? Because I used to use Priceline back in the day, because I used to find that great. Do you use them at all?
We use Costco now, especially because we have an executive membership. So there's the 2% back, which is always a nice bonus at the end of the year. And it's just easy to use.
And I mean, this year, you know, they're all talking about the, they're calling it the car rental apocalypse, because there's a shortage and prices are insane. I mean, you can't even get them on Maui, or you couldn't, at least during spring break. And when you can get them, you know, they're going for hundreds of dollars a day, sometimes $1,000. It's so bad that people were actually buying used cars and renting them out themselves, which is a terrible idea.
Yes, please do not rent a car from somebody's backyard.
And have you ever used the site Turo.com, T-U-R-O?
I haven't. I keep hearing about it, but I haven't tried it.
Because that's where you rent from, you know, you can rent out your own car. And I know a lot of people are doing that in Hawaii as well. But, you know, I've heard mixed things about it.
I would be very nervous coming from a rental car background to not know whether or not the car you're rented, what its maintenance is like, what happens if it gets damaged, what's the liability process of it. I'll have to look at the rental car contracts for them. I'd be interested to see it, but I'd be nervous.
So when you do rent a car, and I mean, do you ever stand in line? I assume you use all the apps, or are you members of their clubs? What do you do?
I'm a really big fan of the Alamo kiosk. Like the walk up, fill it out, get out and go, get everything done ahead of time.
Okay. So use the kiosk. You don't use the app.
I haven't used the app. I'm really a kiosk girl. I can definitely say that from working in the rental car business, I don't handle going to the counter very well because of having so much experience with it. I just want to cut out all the extra, get my car and leave and start whatever trip I'm on.
Right.
So the kiosks make me happy.
So when you do go to the counter, or when you did, I mean, they're just hard selling you for insurance, correct? And do you need to buy it?
It depends on the company, how much they push it. And as far as buying it, it honestly, to me, depends on how long you have the car and where you're traveling to. If you're traveling to, say, Anchorage or Alaska in spring right after snow melt and you only have a car for a few days, I would get the damage waiver because, at least in the past, they used to gravel their roads. And there's a good few weeks where there's so much gravel on the road, your chance of getting a star in a windshield or a broken windshield or damage to the hood is exponentially higher than other times of the year. So I would get the damage waiver there because you're going to spend $45-$50 and not have to worry about it.
But, you know, how about if you're covered by certain credit cards or if you're car insurance at home?
I use my, Sapphire Rewards all the time.
Okay.
Specifically for rental cars because it does have rental car coverage. The one thing I would say is no matter what credit card you use, make sure you know the stipulations. Do you need to pay your deductible up front and then get reimbursed? Do you have to reach out to them? Know for your specific credit card what happens if you get in an accident so that you're prepared ahead of time and not scrambling, trying to make a flight going, uh-oh.
Right. And do you call them up and ask your credit card company or do you look online? What do you do?
I think it's whichever one you're most comfortable with. I would start online, and if it's 200 pages of legal mumbo jumbo, I'd pick up the phone and ask a lot of questions.
And when you do rent a car, do you start off with like getting a compact car, hoping that they upgrade you for free, or do you just go for, or do you just go big?
I just go to the SUV just because at this point in my life, I like comfort and I don't want to play the airport game because depending on the airport, especially this year, where so many fleets have been drawn down to a smaller base of fleets, this is not a year I would play the airport game or the rental car game. I would rent what you hope to get.
Gotcha.
Because you may not get that upgrade.
And are you protected though? I mean, let's say I do rent I reserve an SUV. I mean, do they have to guarantee that? I mean, it seems like when you get there, like, sorry, we don't have that car. I haven't rented cars in a while, by the way, but when I was renting them, you know, oftentimes they would be like, sorry, we don't have this car, or there's no car available at all. And I can't imagine what it's like right now.
Oh, this year I have a feeling it's going to be interesting. There's definitely language within a rental car reservation or contract that says they're going to do everything they possibly can to have the car you reserved, but there's no absolute guarantee because unfortunately on the rental car side, they're at the mercy of their renters. And while somebody may say they are coming back at a 9 o'clock, right, you know, return time, they could not show up until 4 p.m. or 3 days later. So you're kind of, as a rental car agent, at the mercy of people bringing cars back when they say they're going to bring back.
Right.
Especially in areas where they may not have an affiliate location nearby that they can borrow cars back and forth from.
Right. Yeah, I got you on that. And so when you do rent a car, I mean, do you carefully check it out and do you document it? Do you videotape it or take photos? What do you do?
I do what I taught people in the rental car industry when I was in house control is what I call a trunk to trunk inspection. Okay. So I start at the trunk of the vehicle. I open it. I make sure that there's a spare tire, a jack, any of the normal emergency equipment that you would expect to be in the car. It's also a good time to make sure nobody's hidden anything or left anything in the car that you may become responsible for down the road if you were pulled over.
Great tip.
And so double checking, put your suitcases in the trunk, things like that, but leave the trunk open. And then I walk the passenger side starting at an angle. So I step 3 to 4 feet back from the car to the side and try to look down an angle of the car because you can see dents and things like that easier from an angle. And then I walk the car, looking at the tires, looking at the rim damage. When I get to the front, I try to safely step back 10 or 15 feet because a lot of times damage to rental cars is undercarriage where people don't realize how low it is and they take it over a bumper block or on a road they shouldn't. So you want to make sure that that undercarriage piece is even and not cracked. And then I look at the windshield as I walk forward, especially if it's in a daylight area, to see if there's any sun glinting, things like that for stars. Making sure to look if the windshield has like the darkened sunscreen type, not really sunscreen, but where it's darker to keep the sun out for stars there, and then I continue to the trunk, and then I close the trunk so that I do a full 360 of the car.
Wow. And so how often have you found stuff?
Being trained to look for it more than I probably wanted to.
And when you do find it, what do you do? Do you just ask for another car, or do you take pictures?
I'll take pictures, and then I'll ask, you want to ask to have it marked on your contract and in the system if possible, but definitely having it marked on your contract with an initial or the name of the person you talk to, so they can tell that it's somebody who worked for the rental car company, not just you making a scribble like there's damage. You want to make sure it gets documented, because the moment you pull that car off the lot, you're liable for it. So you want to know, be able to say, I talked to this employee, we documented it here.
And you get their full name?
And if it's horrible damage, don't take the car.
Oh, gotcha. And you get their full name?
If possible, or their, you know, employee ID, whatever you can get.
Yeah. And I also read that, you know, people should check, you know, the VIN number, the 17-digit VIN number, and look it up and see what kind of damage it's ever had. And also, you know, make sure to check the car, the registration stickers on. So do you do that as well?
I haven't. I would suggest checking the tabs. Make sure the tabs are current.
Gotcha.
Rental cars move frequently, and it's not common, but I wouldn't say that it doesn't happen that a tab might get missed.
Right. And do you think the, and by the way, have you ever had problems? Have you ever gotten an accident, God forbid, with a rental car?
We haven't. We've had a windshield blown out and some minor, we've had it hit, but we, knock on wood, since we're in a rental car next week, we haven't gotten in an accident with a rental car. We have had them hit in parking lots.
What do you mean hit?
Just the car, somebody just backed into it and took the trunk out and left the scene.
Wow. And so what happens then?
I always treat it as if it was my own car and take pictures of the scene. You want to report it. Even, I mean, depending on your location, you're probably not going to get the police out, but you can call their crime line and at least get it reported, so you have a report number to give the rental car company to show that it was a hit and run.
Okay. And then were you held responsible, or did your insurance take care of that?
The insurance took care of it.
Okay. And is that from the car? Is that from Chase card, or is that from your car insurance?
My car insurance on that one.
Okay. And I mean, what other tips do you have for people who are renting cars? I mean, especially right now, I mean, I've heard there's tricks about, you know, by just changing the date by your return date by a few hours, or extend it a week and then return it early. And that way you could save a lot of money instead of paying these, you know, astronomical prices right now.
Potentially, but normally the computer system calculates for the time that you had the vehicle. So when you rent for a week, it calculates off of like 4.5 days or 5 days. And then there's a discount in there for having it for a week most of the time. I don't know what they're going to do this summer.
Right.
You should definitely look at, like, when you book a flight, being aware that if you're past an hour or two from the time you rented it, you're most likely going to get into an hourly charge and then a 24-hour charge. So if you're looking at, like, you picked it up at noon and you have an 8 o'clock flight and you're getting to the airport at 6, you may go into another day.
Right.
So it can be worth kind of looking at your time versus the cost, and whether or not an extra hour at the airport is worth, especially right now, $100, $200 a day.
It's true. But do you think there's any validity into, you know, saying, you know, I only need a car for 3 days, but it's so expensive and I put in for a week and it's much cheaper to rent it by the week than it is for 3 days, you know, will they penalize me for bringing it back, you know, 4 days early, or will they just charge you that weekly rental?
I would hope that they would only charge you the weekly rental, but I would make sure to look at your receipt and make sure to ask what they're charging you, because the computer system may calculate it to a daily rate versus a weekly rate just because of the time the car has been out.
Right.
So I haven't played that game.
Yeah.
But I would be really careful in asking to get a copy of the receipt and make sure you have a copy of your reservation to show the rate.
And do you I assume you put your airline freaking flyer number in there to get the points, miles and points, or?
I do check though, because some rental car companies charge a fee.
Right.
So if I'm only going to get 50 miles, but they charge $5, I'm going to look at the value of those miles.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. What else am I missing? I mean, do you see a lot of people? A lot of times you see the spare missing from the car trunk?
It's definitely happened.
Yeah.
I will say, in 13 years and working in the rental car industry, I saw things with cars that no one would ever imagine happens to rental cars.
Like what?
In Alaska, we had a moose use a car as a stair step to get over a fence. Wow. So I got a phone call on a Monday morning that there was moose prints up the hood of a car and on the roof, and then it jumped a fence.
Wow.
We had a bear rip off a back quarter panel because the person drove too close to the bears, cubs.
Oh my God. And this is in Alaska. Were you living in Alaska?
No, I was living in Washington, but we handled Alaska at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of everything happens with rental cars. I think the biggest thing as a consumer for rental cars is making sure you protect yourself and you know how you're covered. Checking with your insurance company to make sure it does cover rental cars, because there are insurance plans that don't cover rental cars. So you don't want to get caught with a phone call from my old department saying, we talked to your insurance company and unfortunately they're unable to cover, you owe me the value of a car.
And has that happened often?
I definitely made those phone calls.
And what are people saying? Freaking out, I assume.
Those responses you don't want on your podcast.
And would you end up getting the pay up?
We definitely did payment plans. I got a few death threats.
Wow.
I had a couple people come to my office and do voodoo threats on me.
Oh my God.
For a while, I didn't take this drive the same way home because I wanted to make sure I was safe.
Are you serious?
I mean, we would have to go to court and, you know, go after the money.
Wow. And how about internationally? Do the rules change when you rent a car internationally?
They do. They change a lot, actually. That is definitely where your domestic U.S. insurance, you have to make sure how it transfers to another country. And if it does, and also with your credit card, if the limits of what they cover change, you just definitely want to protect yourself.
Gotcha. Because I mean, there's certain countries where, you know, I know insurance doesn't cover. I think Italy is one of them. Mexico might even be one of them. I do know it gets a little dicey. So some people recommend, you know, getting the insurance that they're offering at the counter when you're renting internationally. So I just, you know, I haven't rented a car internationally in a long time because I just take public transportation. But would you go to the counter and then take the insurance?
Well, hopefully I try to do my homework ahead of time and make sure what my credit card will cover so that I use the right credit card
right
for that trip. If it's a travel credit card, how do they have it built in for international? And if I'm not covered through my credit card or through my domestic insurance, then I'm definitely going to look at getting some level of coverage, because otherwise the whole trip, I'm going to be so worried every time we park a car or my husband's driving on the Autobahn having way too much fun, and I'm going to be freaking out about what happens if there's an accident.
Right. So, and how about like tolls? Do you carry your own toll tag, or, because I know like when I rent a car in Florida, you know, they charge you by the day, no matter if you use the toll or not. As long as you use it once or you have to flip a switch. Have you dealt with those at all?
Oh, I've definitely paid my toll fees for Florida. I don't carry my own just because we're always hopping all around the country, and trying to keep track of all of that would be a mess. Most of the time I just go with the rental car and add it up into my expenditure. But I always ask, especially if you know, like, especially Florida, ask the rental car company if they have a system in the car, what the cost is, just so you're prepared.
Right.
And then check your credit card statement later so that when that $4 and $3 and $20 shows up, you know what's happening.
Exactly. And then, you know, I always get emails from readers saying, you know, they got a speeding ticket or from, you know, Europe months later, and that they're responsible. Have you ever dealt with that at all?
Yeah, a lot of it happens like in Western Washington, there's a bridge that you have to pay a toll to cross, and people end up getting bills because they didn't stop to pay the toll. They went through the automated, and then they get a bill for that later. But the rental car company, you figure they have, you know, thousands of cars, and they get this mass bill from the toll station, and they have to have someone go license plate by license plate, match it to the date, match it to the hour to make sure, because that car could have been rented twice in a day before they can bill out to that person. So it can be a process.
I see. And do you have to pay it?
Oh yeah, you drove the car.
Yeah, because I get these emails all the time, but especially it seems to happen a lot in Italy, and they're like, you know, and then the price goes up because I guess they didn't pay it on time.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to be crazy expensive.
I wouldn't want to damage my credit report because I didn't pay for a bridge toll or a Florida toll. That's how I always think about it. Because if the rental car company can't collect it from you, they're going to escalate it to a collection company to collect it from you because it's coming out of their profit.
Gotcha. And how about, you know, parents who have kids, do you recommend them renting, you know, the car seats from the car rentals? I mean, I'm always skeptical, you know, have these car seats ever been in an accident before? Because if they are, they're not, you can't use them. So, but they're expensive. A lot of times they're $10, $15 a day.
I think that's a total personal preference. We had a system where if the car was in an accident and there was a car seat in it, it was gone, but we didn't carry many car seats, specifically because there's some liability for the rental car company to have those car seats, and we weren't in an area that was required to have them.
I see.
I think that that's definitely a personal choice for somebody. We don't have kids, so I don't know a lot about car seats.
Gotcha.
But I do know there's some that adapt between the plane to the car, I think.
Yeah.
So totally. Using something like that, where you have control of it all the time,
right,
might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, we used to travel with the Duna, which is awesome for like real little kids. But so you're saying that you think that if a car wasn't an accident and there was a car seat in there, they would not try and rent that again, that car seat.
I'm going to say I hope not, but in the hustle and bustle of a busy airport location, I'm going to hope that that doesn't happen.
Gotcha.
But it's hope. Like, anything's possible in the turning and burning of cars, especially on a crazy busy day. You don't want to think it's going to happen, but there's always that gray area. So I think people should definitely go with what their comfort level is.
Right.
And kind of judge it based off of that.
You know, I'm coming down to my last couple questions. How about, do you rent, if you're flying into an airport, do you always get the car at the airport, or do you try and avoid some, you know, taxes and fees by renting it off airport?
We've done both. Most of the time, I just get it at the airport and take the expense for the expense, because I look at the amount of time it would take me to get an Uber or some shuttle to an offsite location, hope they were open, get the car, and the same thing on the return. Most of the time, I'd rather wherever we just flew into, get there and go.
Yeah.
That being said, there are locations, you know, SeaTac at one point was like a 30% taxes and fees to cover a whole bunch of things. And I heard a lot of people renting offsite, but you definitely have to look at the value of your time versus expenditure.
Gotcha. All right. Have I missed anything? I mean, have I missed anything buying them, renting them? Actually, let's talk about buying, because you said, we were talking about it earlier, that, you know, the car rental cars make a lot of their money from reselling their cars. Is that true?
They do. Yeah. Most of the cars, like if you go to a used car dealership or a used car lot from a, you know, different manufacturers, a lot of those are rental cars, where the rental car company will run them for so long to a certain mileage based off the type of the vehicle, and then resell them to used car lots or to manufacturers and things like that. So they do make a lot of money in the resale.
How can you tell it was came from a rent-a-car company?
I mean, you can run the VIN, like you said. If you're at a used car lot, ask, Carfax? Ask for the history of the car.
Okay.
Good. And you'll be able to see what it was used for. The one thing I like, we've bought a rental car in the past, and the one thing I like about a used rental car is that for the most part, like if you, especially if you go to a car rental lots where they resell their own car, you can get a full printed maintenance history where you know every single oil change, everything that's been done to that car.
Wow. And there's no charge for that, right?
If you're at the lot, you shouldn't have a problem. They should be able to pull it up from their computer.
Okay. And is there a certain mileage that where they stop running the cars?
It depends on the year and the type of vehicle. It also may depend on the company that you're running from. You know, there's the big major rental car companies that you think of instantaneously.
Yep.
And then there's this, I don't want to call them second tier, but the not the big names. Those next tier locations may rent their cars longer because they don't have the agreements with the manufacturer companies to resell.
Gotcha. And do you think it's a good deal to buy a rental car?
It can be. It can be an amazing deal. It's just, you know, like anything else, you definitely have to check prices. But if you're at a used car lot, there's a good chance that that was a rental car.
Okay. That's good to know. And long-term car rentals, you know, do you do that or do you just buy a used car?
I think it depends on how long you're looking at.
Right.
And what you plan to use it for. You know, if you're using it as a day-to-day commuter and you're only traveling a small distance, you could probably buy a used car and turn it over at the end.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think I shook you down for almost everything. I don't know. Did I miss anything?
I think the only thing I would repeat again is to make sure that people are really looking at the car. Don't trust that that car is in pristine condition and then drive off the lot, park, and look at the car and go, uh-oh. That 2 minutes that you can take in the rental car lot to walk around the car and notate any damage,
right,
could save you your deductible. It could save you so much time and hassle at the end of your rental just by taking a couple minutes in the beginning to make sure that there's no stars in the windshield that could crack out, that there's no damage that wasn't documented.
Right. Well, Tammy Lee, thank you very much for the advice. Again, everyone, her website is Tammy Lee Tips. You can follow her on Twitter, Instagram. Are you on Instagram?
Instagram, Facebook, all the things.
Check her out. All right, Tammy Lee, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I hope this helps everyone and
it
get to enjoy their rental car experience.
Thank you.